वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 6. This is entitled The Glorious Death of Vritrasura. And we are on verse number 11. Purusha Prakritir Vyaktam Atma Bhutendriyasaya Saknuvanti Asya Sargado Na Vina Yad Anugrahat Purusha Prakritir Vyaktam Atma Bhutendriyasya Saknuvanti Asya Sargado Navinayad Anugrahat Purusha Prakritir Vyaktam Atma Bhutendriyasaya Saknuvanti Asya Sargado Navinayad Anugrahat Purusha Prakritir Vyaktam Atma Bhutendriyasaya Saknuvanti Asya Sargado Navinayad Anugrahat Jeez. Purusha, the generator of the total material energy. Prakriti, the material energy or material nature. Vyaktam, the principles of manifestation. Mahatattva. Atma, the false ego. Bhuta, the five material elements. Indriya, the ten senses. Ashaya, the mind, intelligence, and consciousness. Saknuvanti, are able. Asya, of this universe. Sarga Adao, in the creation, etc. Na, not. Vina, without. Yat, of whom. Anugrahat, the mercy. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The three Purushas, Karna Dakshai Vishnu, Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, and Chirodakshai Vishnu, the material nature. That's the material nature, referring to those three Vishnus. The total material energy, the false ego, the five material elements, the material senses, the mind, the intelligence and consciousness cannot create the material manifestation without the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. The three Purushas, Karna Dakshai Vishnu, Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, and Chirodakshai Vishnu, the material nature, the total material energy, the false ego, the five material elements, the material senses, the mind, the intelligence and consciousness cannot create the material manifestation without direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. As confirmed in the Vishnu Purana, Prasya Brahmana Saktis Tadedam Akilam Jagat. Whatever manifestations we experience are nothing but various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These energies cannot create anything independently. This is also confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Madakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving living beings. Only under the direction of the Lord, the Supreme Person, can Prakriti, which is manifested in 24 elements, create different situations for the living entity. In the Vedas, the Lord says, Mariyam Mahimanam Cha Parabrahmeti Sabditam Vicheshashi Anugrihitam Me Samprasnar Viritam Hridi. Since everything is a manifestation of my energy, I am known as Param Brahman. Therefore, everyone should hear about me or hear from me about my glorious activities. The Lord also says in the Bhagavad Gita 10:2, Aham Marihir Devanam, I am the origin of all the demigods. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of everything, and no one is independent of Him. Srila Madhavacharya also says, Anisa Jiva Rupena, the living entity is Anisa, never the controller, but is always controlled. Therefore, when a living entity becomes proud of being an independent Ishvara or God, that is his foolishness. Such foolishness is described in the following verse. I'd like to just read the verse. I'm not going to do the verse from the next verse, but I just like to read it because Prabhupada's referring to it, and then they'll read it again tomorrow. And this is how it's described, a foolish person. A foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous fruitive actions, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger, this is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. So, Om Gyanatun Andasya Gyananjana Slakaya Chaksus Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. The three Purushas, Karna Dakshai Vishnu, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, and Chiro Dakshai Vishnu, the material nature, the total material energy, the false ego, the five material elements, the material senses, the mind, the intelligence, and consciousness cannot create the material manifestation without the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, just to kind of continue the purport a little bit, Srila Prabhupada refers to 9.10 of the Bhagavad Gita. And in the purport there, Prabhupada explains the example given in the Smriti of a fragrant flower. How before someone, the fragrance of the flower is touched just by the smelling power of the person. Yet the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. So there's a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually he has nothing to do with the material world, but he creates it simply by his glance. His glance ordains everything. So in summary, material nature without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can't do anything. Yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead is detached from all these activities. This is his mystic power. And then Prabhupada referred to the Bhagavad Gita 10.2. And Prabhupada also explains in the purport there that the Lord is indirectly saying that if anyone wants to know the absolute truth, here I am present as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the Supreme. So one should know this. Although one cannot understand the inconceivable Lord who is present before us everywhere, he nonetheless exists. And Prabhupada explains that we can actually understand Krishna, who is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, simply by understanding his words in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada's given us a hint here. So because we can't understand Krishna in his actual situation, out of his causeless mercy, he descends to favor such speculators. And also Prabhupada finishes his purport. He says, only the devotees who are fully surrendered unto the Supreme Lord can understand by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he is Krishna. The devotees of the Lord do not bother about the impersonal conception of God. Their faith and devotion bring them to surrender immediately unto the Supreme Lord, and out of the causeless mercy of Krishna, they can understand Krishna. No one else can understand him. So even great sages agree with him. What is Atma? What is the Supreme? It is he whom we have to worship. So it's interesting in the purport, this word Atma, I mean in the verse today, this word Atma is actually there. It's described here as Atma, the false ego. And I like to focus today on one principle that Prabhupada brings about. I mean, it's his kind of referring to as everything. We see Krishna as everything. The three Vishnus, They're so powerful. They create this entire universe, this entire manifestation. But yet, Krishna is even empowering them. And after we see that Krishna is everything in the material world, you know, he's the background of everything. Nothing happens, nothing creates without his sanction. Just in this one verse, Srila Prabhupada quoted from the Vedas, he says, it doesn't say specifically where, but he says, since everything is a manifestation of my energy, I am known as Param Brahman. Therefore, everyone should hear from me about my glorious activities. So this is our main principle, actually, is to hear about Krishna and his glorious activities. And that's exactly what we're doing here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading about this wonderful pastime, amazing pastime of this narrative here. It's glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's statements about the exaltedness of devotional service. There's descriptions of devotees like Indra and Vritasura, believe it or not. Even though he came in the form of a demon, he was a devotee. And there's statements about, we'll begin to read in the future, about King Indra's release from sinful activities and about his glorious activities in fighting the demons. So Krishna comes himself to kill the demons, or sometimes he has his devotees also kill demons, like Arjuna killed some of the demons and Krishna killed some. So simply by understanding this one narrative, one is relieved from all sinful reactions. Just this story we're on now, this particular chapter between, you know, the Lord Indra and this pastime with Vritasura. Just simply by understanding that, we're relieved from all sinful reactions. Therefore, the learned, they always advise us to read this narration. In fact, it's so auspicious in all respects that learned scholars, they regularly read and repeat this pastime on every festival day. So just see, every particular chapter that we read, every narration, is all glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's some benediction. Specifically, we begin to understand Krishna and we're relieved from all our sinful reactions. So it's interesting how these three Vishnus, there's one expansion of Mahavishnu is this Chirodakshaya Vishnu, and that's the super soul within every living entity. And as there is also the super soul of the total aggregation, and that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And this all, they emanate from this Mahavishnu, his lying on the Kasya ocean. And they direct all the affairs of the material world. But yet still, these Purushas, Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Chirodakshaya Vishnu, they have a relationship with this material energy, which is called Maya. And through this Maya, they create all this cosmic manifestation. And they lie on these three different oceans. But some or another, they are attracted to the affairs of the material energy. So they can be said to have some affection to Maya. But the transcendental position of Krishna himself is not even slightly tinged by Maya. So his particular transcendental state is called Turiya, or that's the fourth dimension. So Krishna is in a whole other dimension, which is the background of everything, the source of everything, the sanctioner of everything. So if we can understand this, these three Vishnus Prabhupada describes, then we can actually, you know, become devotees, understand the position of Krishna, understand his position as supreme, and then we can actually become liberated too. There's a nice pastime where Arjuna and Krishna, this was happening in Dwarka, where there was this Brahmin. He was having some children, and then, you know, all of a sudden his children would die. And he would bring them to the king. I think it was Ugrasena was the king there at that time. And he was blaming the king for the death of his children. Because it's described that to be a king, a leader, a teacher is a great responsibility. And if he's not teaching properly, if he's not being exemplary, if he's not acting properly, then things happen. Disasters happen, you know, hunger, so many things. And we can see what's happening in the world today. So many things are happening because they're not on this proper standard. So this Brahmin blamed the king for all these things. So this happened 9 times. His children died, and he was criticizing the Kshatriyas and the kings for not doing their duties, for being envious, for being angry. Otherwise, how could his children die? So one time he came on the 9th time, and Arjuna happened to be there. And Arjuna said, "What? Are you minimizing the Kshatriyas? Don't you know who I am? I am Arjuna, the yielder of the Gandiva bow." You see, and he said, "You know, I will protect you from your child. I'll protect your child." And he said, "How can you protect my children?" He said, "Look, I'm in Dwarka. There's Krishna here. Balaram's here. There's so many great personalities are here, and you're claiming that you can protect my children. How could you be so puffed up, you know?" And Arjuna somehow or another convinced him, and he said, "No. I have fought Lord Shiva and I have defeated him and I've pleased him and he's given me this special weapon. Don't worry, I'll protect your child." So someone or other convinced him and he went back home and he produced another child the next year. And they called Arjuna, please come, my child is coming. So Arjuna, he's very powerful, he came and he was protecting the particular, you know, maternity home. And he would shoot arrows in all directions to protect that place. You know, he was very powerful. And he was thinking, actually Arjuna was thinking that someone other, Krishna, didn't protect him, but I pleased Lord Shiva. So therefore, Lord Shiva, I should probably just maybe pray to Lord Shiva and he'll help me protect this Brahmin's child. So he shot these arrows in all 3 directions and, you know, made this like net, mystic net around there to protect him. But the child was born and he cried, and sure enough, as soon as he touched the ground, he disappeared. And the Brahmin became so furious. He just said, "Look at this. I trusted Arjuna. He was so audacious, puffed up to think that he is more powerful than Balaram or even Krishna to protect my child. So therefore I condemn him," and all this stuff. Arjuna had mystic powers, actually. He performed some mystic meditation or whatever he did. He performed this mystic power where he can actually go to the abode of Yamaraj, the abode of death. So he can appear in any planet he wanted to. So he went to the abode of Yamaraj to see if the child was there. He wasn't there. He went to the abode of Lord Indra, he went to the abode of Lord Brahma. You know, he traveled to any place that he thought the child would be, and there was no child. So Arjuna had vowed that if I don't get your child back, you know, in the beginning, then I will enter the fire. So this is how Kshatriyas, they make a vow and they'll live to it to death. So Arjuna was decided that, yes, I can't find the child, so therefore I'll kill myself. Enter the fire. And he was about to do that, and Krishna stopped him and said, "No, you don't need to commit suicide. It's not necessary. I'll take you to where the child is." And where did Krishna take him? Anybody know? He actually took him to the abode of Lord Vishnu. They traveled. Krishna called his transcendental chariot. And his horses and chariot are not ordinary. They're actually transcendental. Even the horses can fly. They go to different planets. And they went throughout the entire universe. It's amazing. There's this poster, I don't know if you've seen it. It shows how, you know, there's a spiritual world and then there's the material world, the Brahma Jyoti, and it shows the Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu laying on the bed of, you know, the Garbha ocean. And from him, millions of universes are emanating from his pores. And with each one of those universes, there's another form of Vishnu. And then, you know, it's described, it shows the earth, it shows the seven layers. So it shows how, it's described how Krishna, Arjuna in his chariot, they traveled through all these places. They even went through the seven layers of the universe. And they went through the Garbha ocean. It's a beautiful ocean. And within that ocean, there's this huge palace, and that's where Mahavishnu lives. And they appeared there, and they were, you know, Arjuna was just amazed, you know, what he saw. And there was Mahavishnu. And he was so glad to see Krishna and Arjuna. And he said, I have actually taken these babies because I wanted to get the darshan of Krishna and Arjuna. And I'm very pleased by how you're maintaining religious principles. And, you know, please continue. And then please come back to me soon. And Krishna offered his obeisances to Mahavishnu, not because Mahavishnu was greater than Krishna, but because he was showing by example that, you know, actually Krishna is non-different. But it was the whole pastime was displaying how Krishna is even greater than Mahavishnu. And Arjuna was just bewildered. He was amazed how amazing, by Krishna's mercy, he was able to travel throughout the entire universe and go into the abode of Lord Vishnu and see Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu himself admits that, yes, I was unable to see Krishna, but somehow or another I wanted to see Krishna, so he made some arrangements so Krishna could come and he could get darshan. So this is the power of Krishna. Krishna is so powerful. He's the controller of everything like that. So this is a nice pastime that proves that, you know, Krishna is above everything. He's Turiya. He's in a completely fourth dimension like that. So, we might think, how does this particular instance, you know, actually relate to us? How do we take this principle to heart? You know, how is it that we can personalize this particular pastime? Well, you know, it's talking about how we have to actually understand that Krishna is the control of everything. And if we just simply understand three things, that Krishna is the controller of everything, he's the provider of everything. You know, someone may know, what is this, these three things that one may know and he can achieve peace and happiness? So what is one thing that, if we just know these three things, we'll achieve peace and happiness? Proprietor, yes. The friend. Yes. So this is, if we understand this, this is what we should, as I was bringing this principle in the purport, is that we simply have to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is everything. He's the maintainer of everything. But yet, this word Atma is in that verse. Atma means ego, or Atma means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes the Atma thinks that I am the Supreme, I am the controller. But this is his foolishness. So this foolishness is ignorance. So therefore, how do we get rid of ignorance? Is by studying, by reading, by, you know, hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we can personalize this and read these transcendental literatures and understand that, you know, with this false ego, we think we're controllers, you know, we're maintainers, we're enjoyers. But yeah, by reading and understanding this philosophy, we understand that who is the real enjoyer? Who is the real, you know, controller? And then by doing that, we actually understand our real position and we become humble and then we glorify Krishna. And then from that, we become happy. We become peaceful. Otherwise, what's happening? There's just so much hatred and anger everywhere in this world. I was just listening to a person who is against meat eating. He has this whole, he gives these lectures in colleges and things, and he talks about how You know, people, why do they hate animals, certain animals, and why do they love other animals? Why are they so envious? Why are they so hateful? It's like crimes of prisoners, keeping animals as prisoners, you know, and slaughtering them and torturing them. They're like in concentration camps. Why is it that we treat some living entities as, you know, friends and other living entities as enemies, even though they haven't done anything to us? There's so many cows slaughtered, so many small animals killed every day, millions. And they didn't do anything to us. But yet out of anger and hatred, we actually kill them and we eat them just to satisfy the tongue. This is amazing what's going on. So there's an appeal throughout the Bhagavatam that we should give up our hatred and hesitation. And instead of trying to eat living entities and learn to eat proper things, we should just eat prasadam. We should eat maha maha prasadam, it's described. Actually, there's a verse that says, therefore give up hatred and hesitation. Try to eat the remnants of food of Vaishnavas, for you will thus be able to achieve your desired goal of life. So this is one very powerful thing. And there's three powerful substances that's described. One of them is the dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are very powerful substances. And by rendering service to these three things, one attains the supreme goal of ecstatic love for Krishna. This is revealed in all the revealed scriptures again and again. And therefore, there's another appeal. Therefore, my devotees, please hear from me, for I insist again and again. Please keep faith in these three and render service to them without hesitation. For these three, one achieves the highest goal of life, ecstatic love of Krishna. This is the great mercy of Lord Krishna. And the evidence of this was Kalidas, who was given some prasadam of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was, you know, he achieved this goal of life from that. There's a whole pastime of Kalidas. So that's very nice appeal. So simply by understanding these three facts, that the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, is the proprietor of the entire creation, that he is the best well-wishing friend of all living entities, and that he is the supreme enjoyer, one becomes very peaceful and happy. And for this transcendental happiness, we've always been looking for that throughout the universe, in different forms of life, in different planetary systems. And that's simply because we've forgotten our intimate relationship with Vishnu. And then we've suffered just life after life. So therefore, our educational system in the human form of life should be to understand this intimate relationship with Krishna. Because we all have an intimate relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada actually writes in a purport, he said that every living entity has an intimate relationship with God. One should therefore glorify the Lord in the adoration of Santaras, or revive his eternal relationship with Vishnu as a servant in Dasharas, or as a friend in Sakyaras, a parent in Vatsalyaras, or a conjugal lover in Madhuryaras. All these relationships are on the platform of love. Vishnu is the center of love for everyone, and therefore the duty of everyone is to engage in loving service of the Lord, as stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yesam aham priya atmasutascha sakya guru surido daivam istam. In any form of life, we are related with Vishnu, who is the most beloved. The Supersoul, Son, Friend, and Guru. Our eternal relationship with God can be revived in the human form of life, and that should be the goal of education. Indeed, that is the perfection of life and the perfection of education. So this is what we should do. We can personally take to heart that, you know, I'm studying these Vedic literatures. I'm reading them. You know, I am trying to apply them. So how do we apply them? So we have to go from studying Vedic literatures to actually obeying them. It's one thing to hear them, you know, over and over again, chant, chant, chant. But to actually take the instructions to heart and obey them, that's something that we can really cause change in our life. You see, that's, if we can commit to that, then we can actually see how we can apply this knowledge and apply the principles that we hear. So, I have a question. Maybe someone could explain how they can apply, how they would apply this principle. This as you could call it, a law of application. How you can apply, you know, this principle of, you know, since Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then I should hear about him. And maybe someone could mention how they apply this in their life. So this is a question for you. Is anybody? Yes. Prabhu.
So in this particular chapter and in this particular verse, it's talking about being fully dependent, and the only independent, fully independent, is Krishna. So all living entities under his control. In the Mahabharata, Bhishma Dev is talking to Yudhishthira and is telling him that no one can understand the activities and dealings of Krishna. Saying so, at least myself as a devotee, I'm trying to be a devotee, and sometimes we hear talks among devotees when there's some reverses or some troubles or happenings are there, that, oh, it's Krishna's doing this to me, like doing directly. And in my observation, in my personal observation, I see sometimes that Krishna only deals with pure devotees, and I'm trying just to be a devotee. So actually, in my case, it's karmana, daiva, netrena. I'm still under the most material nature. If it's something happened on the way along, at least this is the way I think, is I'm not reached that platform in which, like in the Brahma Sanhita, Krishna says that he uproots totally all the things from the pure devotee's heart. He helps him totally. But to the other ones, he awards them also accordingly. So I don't know if I answered your question, but sometimes like the mentality that we practitioners think like, I'm already a devotee, but I'm not actually a devotee, because Krishna deals only with pure devotees, totally. So anything happened to me now at this particular stage that I'm at is actually something that I'm not being carefully done, some karma in the past, and I just have to be tolerant and detached and patient to actually achieve to the platform in which Krishna can deal with me directly. And even at that point, I should not think that, oh, Krishna is doing this to me directly. But I'm just begging for that mercy.
Yeah, so what I'm getting from you is how you're applying this is that you're very humbly submitting yourself and being patient and continually hearing. That's good. And then, yeah, that's important how the pure devotee is. That's how I mentioned these three powerful substances come from the pure devotee. So if we just hear from Srila Prabhupada, take shelter of him who is pure, then we just have faith and patience, like you're saying, then yes, that's a good application. It's a very good mentality. Yes, Savas Prabhu.
Yeah, Prabhupada describes that we should be like a postman. A postman, he delivers the mail. is really like unattached to the result, whether it's good or bad. In other words, he just follows the instruction and gives a post. You know, we wait for that postman. Sometimes it can be bad news, sometimes it can be good news.
Yeah.
But the saying, the motto for a postman is that, you know, through rain or shine, they'll deliver the message out of duty. So in the same way, as devotees, even if we don't understand what all the aspects are of pure devotional service, or if we can achieve that just by executing the order of the spiritual master out of duty and not deviating, whether it's rain or shine, good or bad, but we deliver the message of Krishna consciousness. So if we just do that, one will actually become a pure devotee of the Lord and go back home, back to Godhead. There's an example that I was just talking with some devotees yesterday about this love for the spiritual master. And Hari Sari, in his book, he describes love very nicely. He was saying that when he was taking care of Prabhupada, massaging him and serving Prabhupada, he would hear all the devotees, and they would be doing all these wonderful activities, opening temples, distributing books, collecting tons of money. It made him very confused in terms of if he actually loved Prabhupada or if he was doing anything for Srila Prabhupada that meant anything to Prabhupada. And so one day, in the course of doing his service, he even asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you know, I see all my God brothers and sisters doing wonderful work. And, you know, I'm confused. I'm, you know, disheartened, because what am I doing?" Yeah. And he said, "Prabhupada didn't say anything." So sometime later, when he was doing his service again to Srila Prabhupada, then out of the blue, Prabhupada said to him, "Do you like massaging your spiritual master?" And Hari Sari replied, "You know, I love doing my service for you, massaging you." And then Prabhupada described it, or said, "Well, you see, you do love your spiritual master." So just by executing his service, he didn't know. He was confused. He might have even got bewildered in terms of seeing so many big things going on. But because he executed his duty to Prabhupada in his service, this way Prabhupada showed him, yes, you really do love your spiritual master, even though you're confused about it. You don't know.
Yeah, that's a great application, yeah. Thick or thin, rain or shine. We just perform our duty.
Can I ask another question?
Okay.
Did you mention that Vishnu, or Mahavishnu, Shirdakshaya Vishnu, there's some attraction to Maya?
Yeah.
So how is that?
Because they're the ones that create the material world. They're actually in touch the material energy and create and make everything manifest. So they're kind of here.
But our understanding is that they're transcendental.
They are transcendental. But yet, still, they have some attraction, Prabhupada said. They actually touch it. Yeah. That's purport. Right.
Or in any way changed by it.
Right.
We have to make that really clear.
That's an analogy of the flower and the smell. This person smelling the flower and like that. So his, you know, his controlling everything, but he's not attached. He's not controlled. Yeah. Archita?
And just before we leave, I just wanted to mention about Gopi. There was some buzz that Gopi Paranana Prabhu left his body. So Shruti Kirti Prabhu put something on Donovan.
Who left his body?
Gopi Paranadana Das.
Oh, he did? Wow.
Yes. Oh. I just wanted to read this quickly before we leave. Shruti Kirti Prabhu posted this on Donovan. He said, "I received the most disturbing news that our God brother Gopi Paranadana Prabhu left his body a few hours ago here in Govardhan. I've just returned from his house, which is next door to ISKCON Govardhan Mandir. I will give a short report here as told by his wife. He was seen early in the morning and was fine. One devotee was waiting for an hour to see him. When he finally got in his place, he found him lying on the floor and probably been there for a few hours. This is typical Gopi. Just no muss, no fuss, just keep his body and go away, if you know him. His wife told me that he had just returned from the Polish festival and in 2 days he was going to China. Krishna arranged for him to leave his body here at his home in Govardhan. She told me yesterday a black snake came up to the door and Gopi simply closed the door on it. She sees it as Krishna's messenger. It certainly could have been an asthma attack, but no analysis has been done yet as the police had not yet arrived. His body was almost straight on the floor of his room. He was lying on his back and would be in a dandavat position with his left side facing Govardhan Hill. I was his first god brother in the room, and after a few minutes chanting the string of prayers, looking around a small room, I saw the following on his desk. A framed picture with the following words. And anybody who's been in his room? Very, very simply. He was living very simply on Govardhan and his wife, son, and a couple of cows. And this is the words, quote, "Do not hear from mouths of persons lacking proper conduct. If your conduct is below par, you should not publicly preach about the Lord. Close the door and preach to yourself. Bhajan really begins when one's outside and inside are the same." End of quote. So then there's more, but I'll just read a little biographical paragraph at the end. Everybody can read the whole thing later on. Gopal Purananda Das was a scholar of Sanskrit and a practicing ISKCON devotee. Born in 1950 in New York City, he received his BA in linguistics from Columbia University in 1972 and was initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 1973. Under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, Gopal Purananda developed an expertise in Sanskrit and served as an editor for the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. After Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, he helped complete the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mukundamala Stotra, and Narada Bhakti Sutra. He continues to translate Gaudiya Vaishnava literature from Sanskrit and also trains editors and translators for the BBT. He worked on the BBT production of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, lived in India with his wife, his son, and two cows. Gopi Purananda Prabhu Ki Jai. So he definitely was an integral part of the BBT. We should probably do something here, Savas. I don't know, we should probably arrange some kind of memorial for Gopi. And at that time, those of us who knew him well, myself included, could probably say something else. Haribo.
Jai, that was a great quote on a plane. Can you read that quote one more time? Is it possible? Can you read that quote one more time?
Okay. He said that if you're not...
Put in the mic.
If you're not pure,
you should not preach. If your conduct is not pure, you should not preach. Yeah. Close the door and preach to yourself. He said one should not actually preach publicly until your inside and outside are the same.
Jai. Thank you, Prabhu. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Gopi Pranadana. Hare Krishna.